Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan. It's time for Golden Locks with Alex Gold.
Gotta figure out how to make money on this thing. It's simply too good.
Welcome back in to 96.5, The Fan. Fesco, Dusty, Gold, Mac. Four guys here to talk sports until the end of the 9 o'clock hour. Not just kidding. Three guys till the 9 o'clock hour. Then you've got your show. You and Drew today.
Yeah, Drew. Sean Barber's going to stop by in the noon hour today as well. We'll also have Dane and Hughes a regular visit. But Cody will be back, I'm assuming, tomorrow with us. But we've got Drew and I hanging out today for a couple hours. Plenty to get into, and including the Thursday night game. That's honestly where we're going to start our show today.
Yeah, we did too.
It's a massive game, and both for Chiefs implications, betting implications as well. I mean, I don't know about you guys. The last two Thursday night games have actually been really entertaining. Anyway, I know last week we talked a ton about the Jets Texans. The week before was Rams Vikings, which turned out to be a really good game. And then I think most people expect this one to be really competitive as well, where the Bengals are down to 5.5 point dogs. You know, last night on that betting show,
which one?
That one, Bob. They were 6.5 point dogs. And I like Cincy when they were 6.5 point dogs. Now you're starting to get under six. You know, I can see Baltimore winning this thing by 6 points. So I actually think that's significant movement from the 6.5 last night.
So how are you betting tonight's game?
So I have Cincy plus 6.5 from last night. And then you mentioned this during the break an hour ago in the bullpen session. Mm-hmm. The total, you like the total, but you like the over. You and I are on opposite ends for this one. Now it's gone down to 52.5. Mm-hmm. So for me, I hear you about the offenses, right? We know both teams have moved the ball. We know their defenses are not the same. This is a Thursday night game, though, and I do buy into the trend that when you get above 52 points, so we're talking about now 52.5, above that on Thursday night football since 2003, so this goes way back, unders are 14-5-1. 14-5-1 on unders when you get above 52 points. And we haven't had a game close at 53, which is what it was, since the Chiefs-Chargers game back in 2021 for a Thursday night game. So typically, even though these are high-powered offenses, I think we'll see points, short week, Thursday night football, it would not surprise me if this one goes under. And by the way, even if it goes 52 points, You're still good. Like you're still good at that, and that's a high scoring football game. I just don't think it goes over 53.
Okay, so it doesn't go over. You're taking the under. You're taking Baltimore to win the football game, and then from like a Chiefs implication, we had the fun topic of who do you want to win?
Of
this
course,
game, right? I hate Cincinnati and I hate their fans.
So I don't. Yeah, I didn't catch that segment driving in, so I don't know what you guys said, but I don't. We're going to start our show with it, but I'll tell you now. I mean, I want Baltimore to win this football.
So
game.
Do I.
Barry Cincy. Be done with it. Put them out of their misery. Drew and I will have some fun with that.
He's my son.
Drew's a Cincy guy, so we'll have some fun, I'm sure, to start the show with that. But look, Baltimore is not going to get the number one seed. You guys agree with this. They're out of that conversation. We talked about the odds, I think, last week when I was in with you guys and where things stand. They're like 20-1 now to be a number one seed. Mm-hmm. So I'm not worried about Baltimore winning. Like, they're going to be in the playoffs. They might win their division. They might be a wild card team. We'll see. Barry Cincy, just be done with it. So yes. I don't know why you would be rooting for Cincinnati to win tonight. Honestly, as a Chiefs fan, I really don't get it.
Yeah, I'm with you. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I liken Cincinnati to a cockroach, right? You've got to stomp on them, crush them, destroy them, crunch them again, destroy them, crunch them a third time, destroy them a fourth time, and get rid of these people because I don't want them around in the playoffs because, like I said, they scare the hell out of me.
They scare you still, though?
Because it's the only quarterback that's ever beaten Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. I just don't want to face him anymore.
How long does that last?
Until he retires?
Or until you beat him in the playoffs again.
Is it that?
Because then it's enough is enough. Because then it's like, that's okay. They each have a win over each other.
He's just a cold-blooded quarterback.
So it's five, oh, he's so great.
Yeah, so he's 500.
Great.
And you know since he's going to do their talking. and you know it's going to get Chiefs fans fired up. Then he comes into Kansas City in the playoffs, and there you cut the head off the monster, and it's over. And then it's like, I don't want to hear it anymore.
Yeah, there's definitely truth to that.
That's better feeling to me than letting somebody else take out your trash.
I hear you. I guess for me, it's just the Bengals fans are still living off of the one AFC title game win, obviously, against Mahomes. And the stat, you just referenced it, Bob, other than Brady, Burrow's only had speed Mahomes in the postseason.
Right.
And so I get that. But also there's part of me is like, Cincinnati fans, they're sitting there with four wins right now, and they still think if they get in the playoffs, they're winning multiple games. To me, it's right. Delusion. And so I just want to end that. I'm sick of even having the conversation with Drew
with
about
Drew.
It.
Yeah, so it does factor in. No question. Yeah. Yeah. So
just end it tonight, please.
Because Cincinnati, we talk about the script of the NFL all the time. This is the Cincinnati script. Stumble out of the gates, look really, really bad, and then turn it on and get into the playoffs, and they do their thing. Like, Buffalo doesn't scare me in the playoffs. Baltimore doesn't scare me in the playoffs. And I guess it's just that PTSD from seeing the Bengals win that one game. Even though we've beaten them since and all that kind of stuff, you still have that PTSD. Like, you look at Joe Burrow and you're just like, that guy right there is lethal. He is deadly. He is a cold-blooded killer. I don't want anything to do with him.
Yeah, no, I hear you. As far as the other thing with this game, I do think a prop bet that's interesting. Dusty, I know you're big into some of the individual props. Mark Andrews, without Isaiah Likely playing, and Cincinnati's defense has been one of the worst against tight ends, kind of like Kansas City.
Right.
That to me is an opportunity tonight to take a look at Mark Andrews, maybe an anytime touchdown, if not receiving yards for Andrews over under 42.5 yards. Like, if you think the game's going over like you do, then I definitely think it's worth throwing a few bucks on Mark Andrews to get a touchdown.
Yeah, tonight. I can give you my parlay. It had to be five legs for the boost that I got on DraftKings.
Five legger.
Yeah, it's not crazy as you think. I have the over, obviously, and I have Baltimore winning. So that's essentially what it is. I have Derrick Henry anytime touchdown, right? That's simple. Zay Flowers 50+, Derrick Henry 80+.
I mean, Zay Flowers has been on a heater the last couple of weeks. He's been sensational, even with Deontay Johnson in the mix there now. So, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah,
I could see that playing out for sure.
Mm-hmm. So fortunate tonight, Kansas people can live bet this game at any point in the game. Fortunate for Missouri citizens, they will be able to do that sooner than maybe they later thought.
Yeah, it passed, guys. It passed very narrow. It actually keeps getting narrower and narrower. It's not going to flip the result, but some final votes are still coming in. It's going to be less than 4,500 votes that decided this thing. Think about that. Wow. 2.9 million votes for Amendment 2 in Missouri, and it's going to be decided, or it has been decided, by 4,500 less votes. The opposition side that said they're not going to ask for a recount. That doesn't mean that some other party, anybody can, if you're willing to pay for it, millions of dollars for a recount.
Is that really what it costs?
I think it's millions of dollars for a recount when you're talking about this in a statewide election. Yeah, that's
why would you spend that money?
Right. And so I don't think we'll see a recount. So, all right, it needs to get certified still. That's December. And then when is it launched? That's the number one question everybody has. I was told early next year. The mayor was on with CDOT yesterday and said he thinks by the Super Bowl. I hope he's right. I think that's way too optimistic.
Yeah, he's been right on a lot of things.
I think that's way too optimistic for the Super Bowl. I was thinking more March Madness when I heard early 2025 from people. Definitely by football season next year, but maybe March Madness. The Super Bowl, it's just, to me, way too quick of a turnaround. Kansas had the fastest launch when we remember that happened 2 years ago. It was 70.
What did we pass that?
That was through the legislature, not a public vote. That was in May, and then I think the governor signed in end of May, and it was up and running 74 days later or whatever, Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, it was quick.
Nice.
And that was really quick. That timeline that the mayor's talking about is quicker than that. That's why I'm a little hesitant to think that it's by February 9th is the Super Bowl, I think, this year in New Orleans. So we'll see, but it's definitely exciting that it's finally happened after all these states bordering Missouri had it done. Missouri is the 39th state now to pass it. And I think you'll see more apps in Missouri too. Like
I was going to ask you, do the apps translate over state lines? Like, if you're driving around town, you end up in Missouri. Like, does your Kansas app work, or will your Kansas app work in Missouri and vice versa?
So you won't have to have a separate, let's use FanDuel. You won't have to have a separate FanDuel account. But if you've ever bet in another state with the FanDuel app, you'll notice there's like a tab on your My Bets
page. Says you're out of the state now.
Or it'll say like when I was in Arizona for the Super Bowl a couple years ago, I bet there. So I have a tab that now forever, I guess, just says Kansas or Arizona bets.
Right.
So my guess is there will be a tab for when you're in Missouri. They will go under the same account, but it'll be listed under a different state.
Yeah.
And the usual players will be in Missouri, FanDuel, DraftKings, BetMGM, etc. There will be more after that. There's a potential that there won't be 19 of them, but there's a potential that you could have like 19 apps. I think you'll see some of the apps that are in Illinois, which is already bordering Missouri, obviously, that'll come over. And it's also a pretty favorable tax rate for them.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
The operators in Missouri with the 10%. So it wouldn't surprise me if you see like a Circa, who obviously has a casino in Vegas, but they also have an app. Circa or Hard Rock, Bet365 is another one. I'm missing Bet Rivers. Yeah, there you go. That was Bet Rivers is in Illinois and a few other states. I think you might see a few other ones that we haven't had on the Kansas side. But for the most part, it'll be the usual players.
Now, I don't know if this is a dumb question or not, but are there going to be like different ways to bet in Missouri? Like maybe some prop bets in Missouri that aren't available in Kansas and that kind of stuff.
So the opposite, there will be one thing that you won't be able to do in Missouri that you can do in Kansas. It's very specific. It won't impact
Smoke
most
weed?
People. Well, that's that as well. No, it'll be on Missouri. University of Missouri, player props. There's a stipulation in the ballot initiative that if you are wanting to bet on Missouri Tigers football or basketball game, you cannot bet on an individual player prop in the state of Missouri. Now, you just go across to Kansas if you're that dead set on betting a player prop for, you know, Brady Cook or whatever. Like, when it won't, he won't be around by then, but you get the
right,
point.
Yeah.
So that'll be one specific thing, and that's just to protect the worry of having a 19-year-old kid, somebody reaching out to him and finding a way to, you know, scheme the system.
Like in Kansas, can you bet on like first coach fired or that kind of
stuff?
No,
so those are going to be
in Missouri.
Those are going to be offshore stuff.
Still.
Yeah.
Okay.
My understanding is you can do MVP markets and everything, because believe it or not, in some states, I think it's Iowa is one of them, you can't even bet on MVP. Each state, every state is different. Heck, for a while in Illinois, and maybe it's still this way, you could not bet on any Illinois college. So, like, you could not bet on even the spread for the Fighting Illini.
Like, Illinois Wesleyan was off the board?
They were off the board, but the Fighting Illini were off the board. Each state's different. My understanding in Missouri, it's just the player props for Missouri colleges.
Okay.
That you won't be able to do. Other than that, it shouldn't be much different than what we're used to seeing.
Okay, so pretty much all the same. That's good news for everybody, man. Let's go get this thing legalized nationally, and let's move forward as a country when it comes to sports gambling. Because what did you say, 39 now? That's like 11 stragglers, and one of them is California. For right away, like,
yeah, that's not to get too in the weeds. That one's very complicated with the tribal casinos, and that's the thing. That ballot initiative, they spent a ton of money, and it failed out there miserably. This in Missouri was the most money spent on a ballot initiative in state history. $41 million on the yes side between FanDuel and DraftKings and other parties, and then $14 million on the opposition side, I believe, was also a record.
Wow.
Caesars put $14 million on the no side. They pulled their TV ads about 3 weeks before the election. That's why this thing was so close, is because you had a lot of money coming in on the opposition side. And look, credit to both sides; they did a good job with their messaging.
Why did they pull their stuff 3 weeks?
I don't know the exact reason. I don't know if they are, you know, if they're. Remember, Caesars is obviously an operator that's going to have an app and has casinos in Missouri. So I don't know if there was just a realization of where this was trending or not, but that's why it was. Everybody was asking, like, why was this so close? There's one reason is there was a lot of money on the opposition side. Some just people have their own personal values and beliefs on gambling. The other would just be the confusion around the money aspect of where the money's going and the belief of, is it all going to education or not? This gray area, how much money is actually going to be generated? Because in year one,
what percentage of the people care about that?
Enough to make it this close, Bob.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
They had to run up the vote in the metropolitan areas. That's why that's the only reason why this passed. I mean, you look at some of the numbers in St. Charles, out suburb of St. Louis, and St. Louis County, and obviously Jackson County and Clay County here on the Kansas City side.
Yeah.
They ran up the votes, and in rural areas they didn't. So it's kind of like it works for a lot of things.
Right?
So.
Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah.
Chiefs line has moved. I think it's now 7.5. It's a big number. It's a short week. It's a divisional game. It's at noon. I don't know why that kind of plays into the thing with me with that. It's at 12 o'clock. It's a noon game on Sunday. You like the points, or do you stay away from this because of what it is?
This is three straight weeks, guys, where I think it's another teaser. And by the way, it's been the right call the last couple weeks. Tease it down, because we discussed this with the Raiders game. Hey, I didn't like the 8.5, 9 points. Tease it down. You would have lost your bet if you bet the Chiefs on the backdoor cover last week, even against Tampa.
Right.
That was 8.5, 9 points. We said, hey, tease that down. sure enough, if you didn't tease it, you would have lost your bet. I think the same thing here. I like that it's going down to 7.5, even better. Do yourself a 6-point teaser. That means the Chiefs minus 1.5 all of a sudden. Tease that. Pick another game. I think Baltimore is the other one I would tease with again tonight. Tease them down. We all think Baltimore is winning, I believe, even though I told you Cincy, maybe you like them on the spread. Tease Baltimore down to, what would that be, a pick 'em basically now. With the Chiefs just to cover 1.5. And that's kind of a bet I really like. I'm not going to bet the Chiefs on the spread by themselves.
Which KU line do you like better, Iowa State or UNC?
Iowa State.
That's who they play this weekend in football.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was like, what? If you're talking about the KU basketball game in Iowa State.
Yeah, I'm talking about KU football versus Iowa State, that line.
Yeah.
Which Iowa State's massively favored. Or KU minus 7.5 versus UNC on Friday night.
For the KU hoops game, I'm betting that live. That is a live bet for me. So there's 7.5 pregame, right? Tip before tip off.
You think it moves?
Yeah. So I want to see. We all know eventually the Allen Fieldhouse run. I kind of want UNC to get up early.
Yeah.
And I want to get KU live at like minus 3.
So it's like minus 3.5.
I mean, we all know the runs that happen at times at the field house. So now look, it may not happen. KU might just be in control throughout and so be it. But I'm not betting KU this early on in the season. It's so early in college basketball. We don't have a good feel for any of these teams and where they're going to ultimately be. I don't think UNC has an answer for Hunter Dickinson, but I want to see if KU gets down. Let's say, even if it's like 10-2 UNC and all of a sudden KU's minus 5 live something like that. That's how I'll be betting that. I'll be honest, KU football game, you might know the number more than I do. I have no clue what KU's favorite
by Iowa
State.
There's no reason to pay attention. I think they should give up the program. seriously, cash in, man. You're wasting your time and everybody's money. But the basketball thing is interesting because this is a big game. North Carolina, I don't think, has been to Allen Fieldhouse ever. But, like, why on a Friday night? Again, like,
Is it TV purposes, you think?
Nobody watches on a Friday night, though.
I wonder, though, it's TV purposes, as in November, Saturday's full college football, the networks.
Sure. You got the NFL and all that, but why not have this game Tuesday Wednesday?
Well, I couldn't do Tuesday this year. No, it was election day.
But next week or the week, like you like a Friday night for a game of this magnitude, I think it's a terrible night. I do. I think Friday night is an awful night to have anything on TV because we're in the high school football playoffs, family activities, all that. Like nobody watches TV on Friday night except Binkley.
No, I mean, you're not wrong.
Right.
I think it's just an early season thing. And that's why, by the way, Iowa State is only 2.5-point favorites over KU.
Yeah, I just saw it on DraftKings. It's minus 3 Iowa State.
Yeah, they're not massive favorites.
Yeah, my bad.
It's at Arrowhead.
Yeah.
You know, which means it's an epic atmosphere full of Iowa State fans on Saturday. You know how many Iowa State fans are going to be at this game?
That's going to be a quick turnaround for the field, too, with an Iowa State-Kansas game.
Part of the contract KU had with the Chiefs was like they would make every effort possible to have the game as early as possible in the day Saturday to give them time. And the kickoff is 2:30, so it wasn't as early. They didn't get the 11 a.m. kickoff, which is what the Chiefs wanted KU to have.
Yeah.
So they had more time to get the field ready for the noon game on Sunday.
No doubt. Hey, how do you think that, I mean, so ridiculous from a betting standpoint, a torn up field from the day before with the Jayhawk logo on it.
As long as Shakira's not playing, they're fine.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. Yeah.
my guess is the staff there. I bet you they have the field looking great. Yeah, I'm sure it's an NFL stadium, and the Chiefs are typically very, very good with their field conditions compared to they're not doing the green paint like they used to back in the Carl days.
But this is, I mean, you think about it. You had a Monday night game in the rain. Then you have a Saturday game in the rain. Mm-hmm. And then you have the Sunday noon game. Like, it's a slop fest out there.
Yeah.
Luckily, there's prayers up to the ground crew got to deal with that.
Yeah, have fun. Have fun with
sog.
That. Sorry,
we had this
little sog.
We had this conversation earlier. Do you eat Oreos?
I don't like them.
Never mind. All right. What do you got coming up on the show today? You got Paul Charchian?
Yeah, we'll talk some fantasy football with Paul Charchian. Dane and Hugh's going to join us in the noon hour. Sean Barber's going to stop by.
Nice.
But yeah, we'll start our show talking about Thursday night football and the implications. Drew and I'm sure it'll get heated at times talking Cincy.
Oh, I'm sure. One thing you do like is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
I'm back.
Did you see that they have a deconstructive Reese's Peanut Butter Cup?
Explain this. You put your own Reese's peanut butter cup together.
You put as much
Some
peanut
Karen
butter
complained
want.
There wasn't enough peanut butter.
Wait, so you actually physically scoop in the peanut butter?
That's right.
And then what?
And then you eat it, I guess. But I don't know where the top is.
That's what I'm saying.
It comes with a shaved top.
What, you like put a lid on it? It's like a Reese's lid?
You know it tastes different.
On it.
That's the thing. There's no way that peanut butter tastes the same.
Of course not. Nobody wants
I mean, I'm
that.
Down to try it. Where is this out in stores now?
Oh, you can't find it. You got to order it online.
It came out November 2nd. Oh, are they charging $20 for
something
one cup?
Like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good on them, I guess.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. So Charchi and Sean Barber, you and Drew, and
man.
A lot of hatred talk between you
probably.
And Cincinnati people.
Probably. All right, man.
He hates it.
They're drug testing Saquon Barkley.
Really?
Right after the game, he got drug tested, because he said.
Normally they do that to you. Bobby Witt Jr. goes 4-for-4 with 2 home runs and a double.
Pee in the cup.
There's definitely a cup in his locker room on the other side. All right, so he's taking the under. I'm taking the over. We're both taking Baltimore. And then he says to tease the Chiefs points down.
Yeah.
I don't hate that. Teasers are fun.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.